You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
Wolf von Gutenberg.
You're on.
I'm on.
Holy cow.
Walked back you're on what? From the Russian front in the Second World War. And he said, you know, one day just everybody turned around and left. That was the end of the war.
Yeah.
And he said it wasn't official or anything. They just got, they were done.
Now, wouldn't you like Haney to have been the last guy shot?
Or the first guy shot, I wouldn't have liked either.
No, I'm just saying the war could officially be over and some fool still shoot you.
Well, you know, they had those movies, right, where the Japanese were in caves and they didn't know the war was over for 10 years or 20 years.
10, 20 years, they were still there.
What we were talking about here, Vince Rosino, CPA, forensic CPA extraordinaire, used to be college professor.
But not at Columbia.
But still a professor.
But still a professor.
A adjunct professor.
He just finished a... Two weeks. Tour started in Norway?
It started in Norway. It was a river. Now you got me saying it.
A cruise.
It was an ocean cruise.
And it was spectacular.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That part of the world.
That part of the world is just amazing. The fjords in Norway are...
It has to be breathtaking.
It is breathtaking.
Anyway, this is the Team Martech Hour, and it's not what we're here to talk about.
But it could be.
Well, it has been so far, but what we're doing is we're doing a little reminiscing and catching up because when did you get back?
Monday.
Okay, and today is Wednesday.
You still have jet lag.
Yeah, I do.
It's 6 or 7 hours.
Right now, it's a six-hour difference. It's about 10 p.m. over there.
So you should be starting to get tired.
I'm ready to go to sleep now.
We'll try to keep you awake on the show. Hey, Tom. You're not allowed to fall asleep on this show. You got to keep Vince awake.
What? He's already asleep. I'm already gone.
So Team Martech is a group of local professionals that started doing these radio shows a little bit prior to 2004. And the concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, securities principal, lots of licenses, handle investments for people, help people with IRAs, rollovers, transfers, 403Bs, 457s, IRAs, Roth IRAs. Give me some more numbers, Vince.
401.
There's lots of numbers.
We had a good call today about how to set up a good thing for children's education.
Well, you know, it was an interesting
thing. Did you talk about the Roth IRA?
Well, you know what? You know who was the first victim on this?
I'm listening.
We're looking at him. It's a CPA.
Right.
He's got a brand new grandson. We're thinking, hey, rather than getting into a 529 plan or getting into the Florida prepaid, if your age is perfect for this, meaning 18 years later you take money out of this, and the whole concept was very simple. In a Roth IRA, for those folks that have not heard of this or have, it simply means we can put money aside, and we're allowed to put as much as $6,500 a year if you're over 50, correct?
Right, correct.
And then that money will grow, and as much as you put in $6,500 a year and all of, let's say, interest, earnings, dividends, profits, when you take the money out down the road, it's all tax-free.
Correct.
Yes.
That's correct.
That amount, $6,500, is that not limited per household? That's per person.
They have to be earned income, though.
Yeah,
I understand.
Got to be earned, and yes, it is per person.
So
earned income.
Let's suppose you're a wealthy or successful professional.
Right.
Who's maybe your wife stays home and you think, well, it doesn't apply to us. Maybe you could pay her salary.
Exactly. And pay her $6,500 a year.
It can. You're limited overall in the amount you can put away for retirement. It caps out about $190,000.
That's still pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. What happens is this. The details might be important, but they're not important for today's meeting.
No.
Because each individual person, you have to qualify for it, and 90% of the people do. But the key is this, is earned income. Now, on a regular IRA, is there not an exception for a spouse that's not working?
Yes.
But what about on a Roth? And I don't
I believe it's the same rules, Joe, but
I'm not 100%.
I'm not 100% on that, but I believe it's true. Wow, so, look who's arrived.
So, Miss Victoria, hey, you got dressed.
Wow, you got dressed for us?
What happened is earlier today, she came from the gym, I think. So she was looking like she was working out.
Yeah, and I don't tell my husband about gym. He hates it. Oh, yeah, right. He hates it.
Oh, jeez. 1-888. I know, pun intended, pun intended. Bada bing, boom, and all that stuff. 1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. So bottom line is, we were just talking about a call we had earlier today, which was about somebody talking about putting money aside for a grandchild. Yes. And where the Roth IRA started to make a whole bunch of sense was, if I get into a 529 plan, every
when
state...
When you say a 529 plan,
what do you mean
everybody
by that?
Knows
everybody knows
what
that.
What is that?
Well, it's a tax...
Mr. Rosino, CPA?
Could be it's a tax-deferred program or tax-free if you use it for its intention. You can put money into a plan that accumulates like a Roth. All the earnings accumulate tax-free as long as you use the proceeds or the distributions
for
educational purposes. Then it's just like a Roth. But it has the restriction that it has to be used for educational purposes or another beneficiary has to be named.
So I ask another stupid question.
Never stupid questions. Only
can I have both?
Sure you can. Yeah, but again, you're limited. As I said, you're
If I could make it so, I could have that Roth and I could also have...
A 529. Yes, a 529. Now, you probably also could have, let's say, the Roth and a Florida prepaid.
Florida prepaid. And if my child was smart, he might get the Bright Future Scholarship.
Right.
Oh, well,
that would be nice.
Well, then you get your money back.
That's what I did. My youngest daughter, I got my money back.
Well, but then you'd have taxable income to the extent of the earnings. Not if you had a Roth.
So here was the concept, folks. So let's just take this and work it out. So granddad is 50. And granddad says, hey, my grandbaby, I'm going to have a college education for him, so I'm going to put $6,500 a year for every year as long as I'm working into this account. And when that child turns 18 and goes to college, I'm going to help pay for it. Now, here comes the $64,000 question. What if that child doesn't go to college?
It's your money.
I know. But what if I did the 529?
Oh, 529, plan. Then you've got the option of giving it to another child.
You better go to school yourself.
You could give it to another benefit. You can name another beneficiary, a relative.
Could I name myself? Could I go back to school?
Yeah, actually, I think you could.
You might be 80, but...
But I could go.
Yeah, you'd be 80, yeah. But
you might go to school for 1 year and try to spend it all quick.
That's right.
But point I'm trying to say...
Yeah, you can assign another beneficiary, name another beneficiary. It could be another child. It could be a relative.
But it has to be a blood relative.
Yes. And it has to be used for that purpose.
So could I adopt that person?
Well, you probably could.
Yeah,
probably
because then it's your relative. Now that you adopted, that's your child.
Right. Yeah, you know, listen.
I'm just being...
I know, but there's these are all good...
But it works.
Technically, these are good questions because these things happen.
Thank you.
But the whole concept with the Roth is, so let's take... Here's this 18-year-old child, and this 18-year-old child decides, I am not going to college, and I don't have any other relatives. And Grandpa says, okay, honey, as he's talking to his wife now, we are taking a cruise to Norway and all of that stuff, and we're going to spend all that money, and it's 100% tax-free.
On a Roth, he could say
on
that.
The Roth, he can do that. On the other programs,
as long as he's over 59 and a half, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Yeah. So if they started at roughly age 50, when he's 70 is when this child is going to school.
Okay. So another beauty part about it, Joe, before you forget, is, you know, the Roths are not subject to RMDs. Now you're going to say, what is RMD?
It's a required minimum
distribution.
Yeah. You don't have to take the money out is the point they're trying to say.
And I would think that's because you already paid the tax on it before you put it in.
However,
but you didn't pay the tax on the gain.
That's the beauty of it.
Say you put 50 in and now it's worth 200, that whole 200 is tax-free.
Right. That's 150 of earnings is taxed.
That's great.
There you go. Anyway, anybody's got any questions on that or wants to get information on it, 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. But let's go back and explaining the team, because today we have 4 out of 6.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Twice in 10 years or 12 years, I think everybody showed up one time. Was that the Christmas party?
You were giving something away.
It was a Christmas party.
You were giving presents, I think, what it happened.
But that's why you got them all together.
That sounds like me, right?
Yeah, I think it was kind of, she bribed everybody to show. Anyway, concept started, we guess, in around 2004. And Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Greg Fasula, attorney, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, started doing these radio shows. And we were kind of joking today, let's try this for a few weeks or months. And all of a sudden, it was years.
Decade.
Now it's decades.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't, you know how, you were saying earlier how fast time goes?
It does.
You just don't pay attention. All of a sudden, it's there. So the concept was real simple. Credible professionals, they don't know everything. So usually they find other people that they consider credible professionals, and they form some kind of alliance or friendship or professional relationship with them so that when a client asks a question, they can say, hey, I know this guy. He's a cohort or something of mine, and he's a CPA, and he's a good guy, and I know him personally. I know his family, and I think this is the person you should call. So there's how we got Vince Rizzino, CPA. And it was the same thing with Dan. When Dan and I first met, was through a common friend, and we waltzed for a few weeks.
We interviewed each other.
We interviewed each other, and then we decided to start
each
doing
other.
Show. Well, that's the truth. And right. And because you don't know each other right away, so you check each other out to make sure you're telling the truth. Well, Greg Fasula, attorney, even though I had known Greg for a few years before we started doing the shows, you know, Greg, as we all sit here, if he was here, I'd pick on him, you know that. If it's daylight out and you say, Greg, is it daylight? He'd say, could be.
That's because he's a lawyer.
You know, I don't know. That sounds like my husband, too.
Greg, I don't think ever gives you a definitive answer about anything.
Except so. He will tell you that he's a moderate.
Right.
Well, you know, we all call him we're not talking politics on this show.
No.
Remember, we don't.
That wasn't a political word.
I know, moderate. Right? We understand. Dan and I, poor Greg, it's just the three of us. I think he'd like to turn around and leave when we start on it. But no, we're really pretty.
But if you want to keep him happy, you just talk about probate and he
burks. Oh, right, my God. You mentioned
he
that
loves,
word probate.
He loves probate. Well, think about this, folks, and this is why attorneys are important to this. When I first meet a new prospect or suspect, in fact, often all of us will talk to somebody about, are you ready to die? Now, that doesn't mean you're ready to meet Jesus. That it could be that. But the second part of it is, do you have a will or a trust? And if the answer is no, I feel somewhat my responsibility to stir the pot and to get you thinking. And we talked about powers of attorney today on the other show, etc. But the concept was this, and the example we give for poor Greg. And when we other show, you can see us. We stream live. This one we stream live too, but you can't see us. You can only hear us. You can.
So the audio is
streaming live, like being on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, that's way to go, Dan. Live. Hey, listen, all the kids understand what streaming is now. It's not with the fly rod. So, with poor Greg, the example that I love to give him, and I tell people that can watch the show, I say, watch his hands now and watch him start to smile. Because as soon as I bring this up, his hands start rubbing and he starts grinning.
It's an involuntary action.
Involuntary reaction.
I do see that sometimes.
Yes. The key thing was, I said, if I died with a $1 million probatable estate, and my daughter showed up and said, hey, Greg, Dad's dead. How can I get the money and how much is it?
And how much are you going to charge?
And you know what Greg says? Depends.
It depends. And one day that's where he'll be. In Depends.
If he doesn't.
Oh, my gosh.
I hate to say this. This is not a pretty picture. But it's inevitable if we don't die.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
I just tease him.
I know. So anyway,
with Greg.
Are you
speaking from experience, Joe?
isn't this exciting? The concept of probate, according to Florida, not statute necessarily, but they have guidelines that an attorney is allowed to charge roughly 3%, or can, they can charge more, they can charge less, but that's the guideline, is 3% of the estate. So here's my daughter standing there, Dad doesn't have a trust and he doesn't do this thing right. How much are you going to charge, Greg? So, well, I can charge 3%. My daughter says, because she's not good at math, how much is that? This is where Greg starts sweating. $30,000.
Whoa. Or more, depending on the complexity.
And if it's very complex and there's pieces of real estate all over, you know, all kinds of
all
stuff,
over the states,
it can be much more difficult. Mm-hmm. So, okay, then the second question, she goes, after she's holding her heart because she's looking to go out and buy that new Mercedes and now she can't do it immediately. Now she comes up and says, okay, how long is it going to take me to get the money? And Greg will say, it depends.
Depends.
But the answer is somewhere between 6 months and a year.
That's right? A long time.
That's a long time to wait for your money.
And it can take longer if there are people that come out of the woodwork putting
that's
a claim.
Right. If I say I'm your illegitimate son, Joe, which I could be.
Yeah, boy, this would be a miracle.
All right.
But the miracles have happened.
Yes, they have. You'd it kind of looks like you.
That's right.
Is it not? This is still not a pretty picture.
We're both older.
I think there is a resemblance.
There is.
Well,
yeah.
I hate to say it, but, you know, my relatives and his father, we're all from, see, my family came from 100 miles north of Warsaw, Poland. Now, 5 miles away, you were in Russia.
That's right.
So my grandmother used to write back to the old country in Russian and in Polish. So half the relatives were over the border, and they didn't like you writing in Polish when you were Russian. They wanted
Russian wants it in Russian.
That's right.
So we could be related.
Yeah, right. You could be, actually.
You know,
you probably are. You look a lot alike.
You probably are.
You know what they? What is that? You do that $100 test, you know, and it goes through your genealogy.
Yeah, it's a DNA test.
I've never talked to anybody that's done it, but I'm curious if anybody's ever done that, they might want to call in. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. You don't have to talk about that, but if you did, it'd be a revelation.
You could call.
I've had that experience. I was out. Somebody called my office and said that they were looking at a lot, but if they could find a house on a lot in that neighborhood on the canal, they'd buy it. Well, what do I do? Right away I look, and I said, I'll meet you at the house. I found one. No problem. We get out there. We start talking, and she talks that she's from Staten Island, New York, and she has this aunt and uncle, and she mentioned these names. I go, that's my aunt and uncle. Well, she was my cousin by marriage.
Wow.
I never had ever met her before, and that was the first time. So it's interesting how you have that. I'm not from New York, but I was born in Washington, D.C., but still, we were related.
Well, you know, those immigrants, when they came over,
from Italy.
That's exactly what happened to my family. Three brothers came over. And they all hit Staten Island the same day, and they decided that New York wasn't big enough for all three of them.
Luckily, they decided that.
So one went to Michigan, one went to Montreal.
Mm.
From New York, had to go back through up into Montreal, and the other one stayed in New York. So many, many years ago, when I was a factory rep and I was traveling, and you know, you're sitting there at night, and I looked through the phone book, and there was a Martech in Montreal, and I called him up.
And here's your relative.
And we were related. We had to go back through the Staten Island, or not, the Ellis Island routine.
Right.
So you never know, Dan. You know,
you really don't. Right. You could be related.
I am going to contest that will.
Which is only right. Okay. Well, first of all, I have to find $1 million. Well, and then I have to die.
Right. That's right.
He's
well,
not
the
going
second
anywhere.
Part's easier
I'm
than the
I'm
first.
I'm patient.
So then when we started doing the shows, it was Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. And that was a real important thing. But I think I better answer this.
Caller,
it's Joe Martech. You're on the radio.
Hello, Joe.
Yep.
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
Hey, we're having a good time, if you couldn't notice.
It sounds like it. Well, I have a question about, my dad passed away in 2013. And basically, he left me a house in the will that stated that the occupant... He had gotten married before he passed away. He didn't know what he was doing. Basically,
it sounds like marriage to me.
A caretaker had moved in with him. A lady. She couldn't speak a word of English, and she basically he had Alzheimer's dementia, and she basically kind of schmoozed her way in, and eventually, while we weren't looking, wheeled him down to the courthouse in a wheelchair one day and married him, and. I don't know if he knew what he was doing. I think he had some vague idea, but not completely, because of things he was doing. He was walking out of the house without his complete, not being completely dressed, things like this. So he was really losing it. But she had got him to basically put the house, put her name on the deed. And she had done this by putting papers under his nose and making him sign, and I had caught her doing this before, and I tried to get her out of the house. I tried to get rid of her, but he said no, which is what very common. They latch on, they get into their heads, and they tell them, look, your family's going to put you in a nursing home.
Of course,
I'm going to stay here with you, and I'm going to love you and take care of you, this kind of thing. And basically, this is what I was up against. But she put her name on the deed. He didn't know what he was doing. I know he didn't. He would have never done it. And then he did a will later, which basically said everything had to be divided evenly. Share, and it said share and share alike in the will was a term that was actually used. And it also said she has 6 months to live there upon his death in the house. This house is a house in Miami. It's paid for. Has been for years. It was actually my grandmother's house, in which she wanted me to have that house. She'd probably roll over if she knew what had happened. But anyways, she's still there. And 6 months later, I have no claim to this house. And she took probably $1 million estate. She took everything. She siphoned off money. He had probably close to $1 million in FPL stock. That we don't know what happened to. Gone. She claims I had no money. He had nothing. We don't know where it went. Oh, no. She claims that all I had was $8,000 when he died. How she's hid this money, I don't know. I've gotten some very bad, I think, legal advice in this entire matter and what I could have done or should have done. And I just thought I'd call you and run this horror story by you. It sounds like something out of a Stephen King novel. Probably could be. But anyways, I thought I would run it by you and see if you had any insight as to what I might could do. Because I talked to an attorney at one time who said, I don't care that they put her name on the deed. I don't care about that. This is called Four Corners Law. That will has to be honored, and she has to be evicted out of that house, and it has to be returned to you. That's Four Corners Law. Then I had another attorney tell me, no, he's wrong, because her name was put on the deed years before. Whether he knew it or not, what he was doing, it outweighs the will. And this other attorney said, later on said, no, the will outweighs, it makes the makes that procedure illegal. Putting her name on the deed becomes illegal. The will takes precedent over that, and it's the Four Corners Law. It has to be honored. It's the states, the house is left to you, and she has to be evicted.
Here's a problem. You already know it's a problem. Where was the horse and the cart? Was the will before the house deed or after the house deed?
The will was after the house deed.
Now, if he wasn't competent to deed her the house, he certainly wasn't competent to do a will, right?
Well, there's probably that, yes, there's probably that argument. Proving this has all been a nightmare, trying to prove it.
Now, the only way, you got to go to court. I mean, hey, this is called attorney time. And the biggest single thing is, if the will was done by an attorney, which I hope it was, that attorney basically is attesting to the fact that the person was competent to do that will. Next, who is going to prove that he was not competent would be his doctor or doctors. So you have some homework to do, but literally that doesn't mean you're ever going to get any money, because if she spent it all.
But he may get assets through the house.
That's right.
And not to throw another thing out there, but I've got to ask Vince, as a forensic accountant, someone who's been trained to follow the smell of money. Is that something that could be looked into much closer?
Oh, absolutely, Ken.
So don't think that all those stocks and bonds that mysteriously disappear don't have a paper trail. They do.
Oh, absolutely.
But you do have to go through the courts for that. You got to get subpoena authority, et cetera.
My thinking is, if it's $1 million, it's probably worth some aggravation.
Yes,
and she's also probably not liquidated all of that. She's probably got it stashed away either in a sock or under the pillow or
out of the country.
Or out of the country. But that would infuriate me to have someone take advantage of my father that. I would go after them with a vengeance.
Right.
So here comes a problem, quote, the right attorney. Where are you located? What town?
Well, I'm in Port St. Lucie, but this all happened in Miami.
Okay.
And the stress of all this thing almost killed me. It caused me 3 heart attacks. It was just like opening up a Pandora's box again. I just at one point I just walked away from it and said I can't take anymore. I couldn't get anywhere. Everybody wanted about $50,000 up front to even go to work for me. I just didn't have that money. Of course, the estate has it and it's somewhere, but I don't have it.
You don't have it, right? We're all saying the same thing. You're at a catch 22. I can't give you anything good like we all know, you have to have attorneys. This has to go to court. It is going to cost money. How do you find an attorney to work on a contingency on that one is tough.
And but you might.
You might. I would do this. You when you called in, did you give your name and phone number?
Yes, sir, I did.
I'm going to give you tomorrow, my young lady will call you and give you Greg Fasula's phone number. Greg's in Port St. Lucie. He'll talk to you on the phone. You'll tell him this same story, and he won't charge you a nickel to talk to you. And he's at the corner of Port St. Lucie Boulevard and Veterans Memorial Parkway. So wherever you are, you're not that far away from him. And Greg, Greg is one of the better people you'll ever meet in your entire life, and I don't mean that. I mean, period. Even though he is an attorney, we won't hold that against him. But he's just a flat good guy, and he's a good listener, and he's helpful. He'll really try to give you the straight skinny. So
don't give up.
Don't give up. But I might be aggravation, but Greg might be able to steer you right, and let's hope he can.
All right, sir. Okay.
Hey, I'll talk. Sorry for the aggravation, but you'll hear back from my office tomorrow with Greg's number.
Oh, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for calling, Colin.
Yeah, you know, as these things go. But there comes that rule of competency, right?
And, you know, all of us sitting here have seen poor planning.
Oh, boy.
Just destroy families.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
But I will tell you.
Three heart attacks later.
Yeah, listen to this guy. The stress from that.
Three heart attacks later.
And he probably spent quite a bit of money that he really couldn't afford.
For the privilege of having the heart attack.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's the sad part. There's an emotional attachment, too, because that was family. Long time, yeah.
Just irritate me to no end.
Oh, boy. Hey, and the other side of the coin, and not that all attorneys are honest or dishonest, but boy, oh, boy, when an attorney does a will or a document, and they're attesting basically to the fact that that person was competent to do it, they normally are going to do a bit of a test on that person to see if they can.
They should be. They have fiduciary responsibility.
They have a responsibility.
Test you every time you come in to make sure.
You know, I think that's a
my biggest
thing
problem is I can't remember who you are. Yeah. You said you're my son.
That's right.
Did you turn over
hey,
any money?
Hey, go move in with them.
Yeah, right. Hey, that's
right. Watch what you said.
Listen, son.
He's been waiting a long time for this. That's
right. Nick, I'm in love with you.
I'll tell you, for the first time tonight.
You solved my whole problem.
That's right.
1-888-221-8998.
Eddie's on the water. You're loving.
888. No, he doesn't live on the water anymore.
Oh, you moved?
Yeah.
Moved, oh, finally.
But he's got a nice.
Oh, you did go to Ballantrae.
He's got a nice pool.
Oh, cool.
You could hang out.
I could be the pool boy.
I need a pool boy.
1-888-221-8998. We don't mean to make light of this, folks, but I'll tell you one thing we've done as a group. Very often our subjects are extremely serious, and we try to bring a little bit of humor into it because sometimes throwing up is not always good. You know, we want you to understand we're here to help you, and that's what we do, and we're going to try to do it with as least amount of pain humanly possible. And honestly, Greg Fasula, which I was leading into, when this relationship started, I used many, many different attorneys to help my clients, and very often I got very disgusted, found people that were not user-friendly, some of them overcharged people, in my opinion.
And why do they do that? I think they do it because they can.
That's right.
It's really pretty simple, isn't it? Because they can.
We've all seen those really fancy, fancy estate planning books.
Great, big, thick books.
That are just a symbol of excessive costs in most cases.
Fluff.
A lot of it's canned
stuff. What makes you feel better about spending $5,000?
Or 10 or 20.
Or like, as he would say, depending on the complexity, right. It could be a lot more.
Well, some people actually demand that stuff, though. They like a
book
because they feel better.
They feel
better. That justifies the cost to them.
Well, that's the easy way to do it. Hey, I'm going to give you this gorgeous book. That's why I'm charging you $2,500 that anybody else would charge $1,000 for.
Right.
You know, so my thing is this, when anyone in our group says, hey, this is an attorney we think you ought to talk to, before we say that, it's somebody that we know and we feel comfortable with, otherwise we wouldn't say it.
Because you know what? It's guilt by association.
It is.
And you know, Joe, because I do this, if I refer someone in this group to one of my friends,
oh yeah,
I always call up the person I referred to and said, hey, how'd that go? Did it work out
good? Yeah, absolutely.
For two reasons. A, if there's something they didn't like, I want you to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And B, if it went well, I want to know that too.
So anyway, the first three were Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Independent's a big word. In fact, we were talking about that earlier on the show, Dan, about that a lot of homeowners insurance companies don't really like Palm Beach, Dade, Monroe counties, and Broward County.
Well, what's funny, Joe, is I could have an insurance company that has very little, if any, exposure down in South Florida.
Right.
I can write a homeowner policy there all day.
However,
there's very few agencies down there that they have appointed.
Because they really are not too excited about
that's right.
too so much of that.
It's not like they've redlined it. There's a few. But chances are, if you walking into an agency that has as many companies as we have up
right.
here, probably not. So what's amazing is how many customers reach us from Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, Monroe County. Even though we're up here a little further north, you know, we can write throughout the whole state. But that's like a little pocket of areas where people say, oh, we don't want to insure anybody in that area. And if so, put them in Citizens.
Yep.
Right.
And there's a ton of people in Citizens who shouldn't be there.
Citizens, folks, by the way, for those of you who don't know, is what we used to call the pool. It's a company that the state runs, and the state says, hey, if you can't get from somebody else, we're going to be there for your last resort. And is it what you want? Probably not. But is that's all you can get?
Well, for some agents, that is. Not only their last resort, it's their only resort for some areas.
Yeah.
And that's sad, because it shouldn't have to be that way.
So then Vince Rosino, CPA, here comes another problem that we have with clients when they talk about taxes. And as we all know, the tax code is really simple. It doesn't change much.
Only 70,000 pages.
Nothing
close. And growing.
And growing on a daily basis, just about, right?
Yeah. Well, they're always changing things. Oh, talking about changing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, either it is or it's gonna or it has. I mean, mm-hmm. that's
so they talk about change, and then the lawyers and lobbyists get involved to stop or promote the change.
Exactly.
So literally, I think probably not the last couple of weeks, but probably twice a month, three times a month, I call you and I say, Vince, what about this? About half the time he says, Joe, I know the answer to that one, but he usually says the same thing as Greg. Let me just double check and make sure, because it's 70,000 pages. I got to look it up, and let's just make sure we're telling a client the proper thing.
Especially if you're going to pass this information to a client, Joe, yeah. it better be right.
It better be right. That's exactly right. Then what happened is the next member of the group is somebody I've only known since about 1980.
Yeah, it's probably right.
And back when I was a real estate broker, we were doing communities, and I met this, at that time, an extremely young lady. What, you were 9 or 11 or something?
Somewhere. Somewhere. Just remember, I had toilet paper hanging out from me when I got out of the bathroom.
We aren't going to talk about that.
She's only 30 years old now. How
I know. It's just an amazing thing.
It's funny.
So Ms. Victoria
Roy, labor law.
Yeah. Remax of Stewart is literally in the top 100 REMAX agents in the entire world, even though she didn't think she was quite that good. She thought it was just in Martin County or something.
The state.
I know, I'm picking on you. But the truth is, she's the hardest working person alive, most credible. If she says she's going to call you. By the way, did you call Bulldog?
Oh, we've talked.
Good.
Hi, Bulldog, if you're listening.
He doesn't listen to this one. I don't even know if he knows about this one, but he might be. If Bulldog is listening, he'll call.
Mike's going to be calling him.
Yeah, he'll call. Anyway, it's a pseudonym that he goes by the way, folks. That's not his real name, but you know, he likes that name.
Bulldog.
Oh, he has that dog from the Marines.
No, he is retired. Okay. He's ex-military, to put it mildly.
You're always a Marine.
Always a Marine. So anyway, Ms. Victoria Lloyd is what happened is, in this debacle of real estate that happened during this last recession, new words came in that we weren't used to. We were somewhat used to foreclosures, deed backs, but then short sales became a whole new ballgame. Then modifications and helping people became much more complicated than it ever was.
And short sale doesn't mean short in time. It means short in money.
Just the opposite.
Yeah, they want to pay less money back to the lender.
And it does happen that the lender, let's say you can't afford to make the payments, and you can prove to the bank that you cannot afford to make the payments, but you want to do the honorable thing and not just walk away from the house. You negotiate with the bank and say, hey, let me sell the house for less than I owe on it and let me go. And sometimes the bank will do that, but it's not the easiest process.
No, it would take, in the beginning, sometimes it took up to a year.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
and
if
then
you
it
don't
got
do
down
it
to
right,
about
don't
six
they also make you pay the taxes on the loss to the bank?
Well, what happened was they changed that. They used to give you a 1099. So the difference from what they got for the home, they would give you a 1099, which becomes ordinary
income,
which is a taxable income to you. So they stopped doing that. There was a time frame. It was October of what year was it? 2000 and...
Well, it was a year and a half ago where they we used to be excluded.
Right.
If it was your primary residence.
Yeah, right.
Right, and not an investment property. Right.
But they didn't extend that into 2016.
They have stopped it. Yes. And I have had recent calls from a gentleman that said, but it's not his homestead. And I tried to explain to him, and the bank says, okay, we'll try to work with you. It's with a servicing company now. It used to be Bank of America. But I said, they haven't answered all your questions yet. You have a lot more questions you need to ask them.
So does that mean he could technically get 1099 on that difference?
Absolutely. And he was going to file bankruptcy, but he has too much money to be able to file bankruptcy.
You see, it's a catch-22 when it comes to this. If the bank knows you can afford to pay, they're not going to let you out of it. But if you can prove to them that you can't afford to pay, very often it's in their best interest to let you go, sell the house, keep it neat and clean and maintained, and put a new owner in, rather than go through the foreclosure process and having a house get gutted and abandoned and who knows what's going to happen to it.
But so, you said the key point there, Joe. The point is they ask you for personal financial statements from the get-go.
Well, it's harder to do a short sale than it is to purchase.
Oh, yes.
They want more information from you. They want all your tax returns.
This is the seller. This is the seller.
This is the bank.
The bank, bank wants it from the seller.
From the seller. Right. Yeah. All your tax returns. They want all your statements wherever you have money,
right?
Whatever savings account, whatever. Then they make you do a net sheet. They want to know how much you spend for food each day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, literally. Yeah. They want to know everything that you put money to each and every day.
Well, what they're doing is verifying whether they should go after you for the money.
Exactly.
Now, I
because
have had people.
Because if you have nothing that they could get from you, they're more inclined to let it go. But if they think they could get it from you, why should they let it go?
Well, they'll let it go, but they're going to ask for money. I had somebody at Summerfield, and he had to put money on the table at the time of closing.
In order to get out.
But that's not necessarily a bad thing, because from my side of the equation, as a, let's say, a person who puts money in that bank, I don't want my bank to give a loan to someone who agrees to the terms, who agrees to the purchase price, and then later on says, ooh, the market's gone bad, the housing market's flat, I need to get rid of this house. Let me sell it for less than I owe. I want to make sure that if he really can afford it,
legitimately,
that he makes good on his note he took out. No one forced him to take that note out.
Right.
Correct.
So I understand the bank's position.
Of course.
Plus, it's not just the bank. There's the investors. They're getting these monies
behind
from investors.
Sure,
that's right. That people don't understand. And when I try to explain to them the process, now every time it goes on to somebody's table, Joe has 30 days to review that case. Then it goes to Dan, and Dan has 30 days to review. And then from Dan, he stamps and he gives it to Vincent.
Yeah.
And when Vincent gets it, he's got 30. So when people say, why does it take so long? All you got to do is say yes or no. It's a process, because they have to go to the investor.
Yeah.
And tell that investor, now you've given $250,000 to this person. Now you might get $100,000. Will you take it?
Point is, the situation is not that simple, but it has worked. And there's less and less of them today because the market is turning around and real estate prices are good now.
Well, it's less and less, and I'm going to tell you why, because banks aren't really working with people as much.
They're not doing it.
No, they're not. And it's almost to where a lot of attorneys were working with the short sales,
right.
And they're almost like they don't want to be bothered anymore because it's too much work for no money.
For the money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. A lot of companies did not charge a fee. Now, the companies I work did not charge you a fee.
Okay.
Now, they put a fee on of $1,500 to the actual lender.
Right.
And if the lender approved it, you would get the fee. But if that lender said, we'll give you $500, that's all they'd get.
Yeah.
And it could have taken a year on that file.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, an awful lot of work. Point is, that was one of the reasons we had to have somebody competent that could help clients, because this was a big deal for a couple of years, three
and
years.
It's still a big deal for some.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very big deal. Now, the thing that they're doing a little more of now than they were in the short sales is deed in lieu.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
And in a deed in lieu situation, they're saying, okay, if you're going to turn the house over to us, now still, you could still get a 1099 for the difference after the auction.
Right.
But they're somewhat willing to pay. Some people I know are getting $3,000 or $4,000 to move. So they know that the house is going to be intact. And so they'll pay a fee.
Deed in lieu have been around forever, especially in commercial real estate, where, you know, somebody builds a $10 million building and they sign the note and they don't have any money to back up the $10 million, so the bank just takes it back. And rather than going through the foreclosure process, the borrower just signs it over back to the bank.
That's right.
Surrenders it.
Yeah.
And surrenders it back.
A deed in lieu of foreclosure. So those have been around forever and ever. But the short sale, you normally the deed in lieu of lets people walk away. Now the bank owns it and the bank's going to sell it.
Well, they're going to auction it.
Yeah, yeah. And depends on the bank. How some of them hold it for a while. We know that.
I've seen them where they've held them 5 to 7 years so far.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's still a big ghost inventory out there.
Absolutely.
Bank-owned property.
Absolutely. Yeah. But they're not going to let them go right now.
They don't need to.
They don't want to because they don't want to get a bad rating, as Joe knows.
Yeah, well,
you know, when they have bad debt, it's not bad debt until it's off the books. Right. Not while exactly. It's on the books.
And it's not like the banks are paying a lot of interest. I mean, a lot of people are going to, and people who can guide them as to where to put their money, because the banks are saying, basically, we're almost going to charge you to put your money with us. Not to that point, but pretty close.
Now, right. But you see, if they're publicly traded, they're going to get found out anyway. Because these loan portfolios are reviewed by the outside auditors together with the loan managers. Well, and they have to write them down or provide a reserve against them.
Well, look,
that's their earnings.
With
one way or the other.
What was it, Bank of America that got fined a lot of money for giving out
they're not
bad
the only
ones?
One
a lot of money.
Yeah.
A
lot of money.
1-888-221-8990-888. It's toll free from any place. 888, write this number down, class. This is important. 888-221-8990. And the last member of the group who's not here, who is the one that should be, whose office is two blocks away.
He said he had to put some fires out today.
Putting fires out? I thought he might be getting that new boat. Did he get it yet?
I don't know. He says he's going to the Bahamas.
I know, but I don't know if he's taking
it. So he must be getting it.
He must be any day. Anyway, Mike Polis, mortgage broker, which works hand in glove with Victoria quite often, and in fact was worked pretty close with all of us. Sometimes they needed tax advice. Sometimes they needed to get a homeowner's policy to make the loan work. So Mike has only been 25 or 7 years in the mortgage business, and we've all learned a ton from Mike. We all know we hear about FHA mortgages now are 3 or 3.5% down. VA mortgages, there's no money down. The USDA program, which has been around forever and ever, which we didn't know about, is 100% financing. You have to qualify for it. It doesn't mean by credit you can't make too much money, can't make too little. You have to fit a window. But there are some exceptionally good programs out there today to help people get loans. And
there's fabulous programs. I mean, it's like free money. But like I say, if people don't have a job and they don't have an income,
well, forget that.
I don't care how free it is.
But you have to look at the cost. You know, sometimes when, let's say you have a 5% note, and you're thinking about, well, I could refinance this to like 2.5%. What are the costs going to be for me to refinance?
Right.
If it's $7,000 or $8,000 to refinance it, if you put that same $7,000 or $8,000 directly to your principal, it may pay it off just as fast as doing it the other way.
Which we do tell people that each month, just put a little more money towards principal only, and you can see how quickly you can pay it down.
Tremendous, tremendous difference.
Well, there used to be a rule of thumb, Dan. It was 2 percentage points or more.
To make it worth your while.
Sure.
I don't know if it's quite 2 percentage points anymore. It might be a little less.
There's also some things that come in. It's called, how long are you going to be in the house?
Sure.
Right, that's true.
You know, so you got
to
look at
how long will it take you to recoup that
exactly
loan fee cost.
Which is
absolutely,
which becomes another subject, which is the reverse mortgage. In a reverse mortgage, you get money and you don't have to make a payment.
Now, they get confused with a thing called a reverse mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a reverse mortgage purchase,
yeah,
so people
yeah.
don't realize that they can actually purchase a home that way.
Mm-hmm.
Plus,
yeah.
you can do a refinance as a reverse mortgage.
There's such a lot of things out there that really can help people. And Dan and I have been in the last 20 years or whatever it is, we've saw quite a few people that the reverse mortgages did wonderful things for them. It made them just their quality of life changed dramatically.
Well, they're not for everyone.
No.
And I like the fact that you can go in with the reverse mortgage from the inception of the purchase.
Yeah.
The only negative is you're going to have a little bit bigger down payment.
Yeah.
Let's suppose you're going to retire to beautiful South Florida. You sold your home up north, got a few $100,000. You might have to put, let's say, 30% down
or
on
even
this 50. New home. Or, you know, whatever the requirements are.
Yeah.
And never make another payment as long as you live in that home.
Yeah, I think it depends on your age.
Right.
There's two things. One is the age. Of course, the appraised value makes a big difference. Your age makes a difference. But the key thing is this. The object of a reverse mortgage, like Dan was saying, let's say you buy a house for $200,000 and you put $100,000 down and you don't have to make a principal and interest payment.
That's perfect.
So now you've got to pay your taxes and insurance and maintain
absolutely.
It because it's
but
your house.
But you have to do that anyway.
You have to do that anyway. But it can make a quality of life pretty dramatic. Because now,
if you don't have the money, that's right.
Well, the other side of the coin is now you can take that $100,000 and invest it. Can you imagine people actually do that?
They actually do.
Who could they invest that money?
Who could do that? You know, it's just.
I just don't know.
Let me search for a minute if I can find somebody that could do such a thing. How much time we got left here, Vince?
I think you have about 13 minutes.
You have plenty of time.
I got plenty of time.
13 minutes. But could I just jump in with one question for Victoria?
You're going to answer it.
You mentioned about how easy it is, this, quote, free money. Do we have another bubble situation developing in the real estate market?
You want this is my opinion. I've been selling real estate, you know, since 1978, and I've seen the roller coaster. Yes, I do. I feel that you have to be very, well, you just have to make sure you're buying the right property. I tell people when you buy your property and you buy it today and it's appraised, it's worth that today. A lot of people try to let me go into the future and see, how much is it going to be worth in 5 years? It could be more and it could be less.
Right.
And I'm honest with people, and I always have been, as Joe knows, and I will always be honest. Now, did I know that things were going to start to boom? I did. I told everybody. Yep. And matter of fact, I guess if we even go back to our radio shows, I predicted everything right to a T.
We actually had people, clients of mine, said, Joe, I'm going to buy this house. And I said, well, is it 100% finished? You're not still under construction? Can you buy it today and sell it tomorrow? He said, yeah. And I said, do you have a buyer for it already in line? He goes, yeah. And I said, okay, because the risk is pretty strong. If you buy that thing now, you're close to the top of the market. And if you don't sell it tomorrow, you might get caught, because when that thing burst. Now, something that's new today, and this is a real good one. Back years ago, in appraisals, different people would order the appraisal, and the appraisals were all certified. These people were called MAIs. Right. We used to joke about it, call them made as instructed. It was kind of
That's kind of cute, yes.
Yeah, we did. But the point is now, you, meaning the realtor, the builder, cannot order the appraisal. The lender orders the appraisal
from an independent company
that we have no control over. Contact. Let me just take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Joe.
Yes.
It's Joanne. Am I on?
You're on the radio.
Am I really?
Yes, you are. You know.
Hi, Joanne. We all can hear you.
Hey, listen.
Hi,
by the way,
honey. Yes, I just wanted to wish Vince and I a happy anniversary. 42 years today. I love you dearly.
Thank you, honey.
Aww.
Well, you know
thank
what? You.
And he's here, I would kill him. You know, if he was my husband, I'd kill
Joanne,
him.
Joanne, thank you so much for loving me. I really appreciate that. That was very nice.
She said Vince.
He's an adult. And I just want you to know he's a great guy. And tomorrow's his birthday.
Happy birthday.
So you all got it the day before your birthday.
Yes.
That's right.
And I just want to, you know, just let everybody know tomorrow's his birthday.
You know what?
Joanne, he's a Gemini, you poor thing.
You know what?
I heard that.
You know, Joanne, he did tell me a secret, though. That I don't know if you know this one, if he ever told you. He said he really wanted to marry you on his birthday so he could, you know, didn't have to spend as much money on presents.
I don't know about that, but I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, but she was the best
of
birthday presents.
So I love you dearly, honey. You've been a very, very wonderful husband. And I hope to have another 42 years with you.
Well, thank you, honey.
Oh, Joanne, that's so sweet. Happy anniversary.
Listen, when you finally dump them, remember I'm next.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Good luck, and thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
All right, honey. I'll see you soon.
Isn't that nice?
That is so sweet. I love it.
Somewhere nice.
I am.
Yep, are you going to Bono's tonight?
Not with you.
It's right.
Wherever she wants to go.
That's exactly right.
A little martini somewhere.
Well, you know.
Several martinis somewhere.
Right about now, she might be getting tired.
Why?
She probably is.
Did she nap today?
Oh, did she fly in today?
Did you go see the grandkids? We flew in on Sunday.
No, they were in Norway and on a cruise.
Oh, you've been on a cruise.
Six, 7 hour time.
We just got back.
No wonder she loves you.
Back to money. Let me just talk about this, because one of my very favorite things that I do today, and I've been talking about this for the last couple of years, I've predicted on the money that this market would be flat for the last 2 years. And I think it's going to be flat for another good period of time. And in fact, I listened to the Fed today, to the Fed chairman, and then to all of the prognosticators that were coming on saying same thing. we've got internal problems in this country. We've got political problems. We've got all kinds of things. And that does affect businesses, which businesses that don't make money means stock market normally doesn't go up. Now, I don't expect it to go down, but I don't expect it to go up. I think it's flat. In the meantime, people say, Joe, is this a good time to get in? And I said, if you're in already, I would probably stay. But if you're not in today, in my opinion, don't get in. We have debt instruments that pay 5 and 6% interest, and they're great places to park money for a short period of time. Now, a short period could be 2, 3, 4, 5 years, but when the market turns, you have other options. But to get involved in something when you're in a precarious position, it's a bit scary. But coming along, making 5 and 6% interest on it, they pay interest every 3 months, is just one of the things the greatest in the world. Now, this is not common stock. These are notes, like a house note, like a car note, a mortgage. Big companies, some of the biggest utilities in the country, they literally will pay you this form of interest, and these things are 100% liquid. What means you can buy it today and you can sell it tomorrow.
Do you get paid?
No. See, now what I do, I have a pause there so Dan can set me up. So.
Right.
I heard it.
There are negatives to this. One is I get paid. Can you imagine that?
No.
I don't know. How do you do that?
How do you do that?
People can't imagine me getting paid either.
Well, you don't deserve it. I do.
Oh, that's not true. Victoria deserves it.
Well, okay,
very much so.
We both deserve it.
Of course we do.
Now I feel it's hard to be a philanthropist without money. You ever notice that?
That's true.
That's called a hobo.
A hobo. Right. You know, living on those trains and boxcars is not exciting. You know,
but you can give it away.
You can give it, right. You don't need a lot of money then. Key is this. I get paid. Now, normally what happens is this. If you put in under $100,000, I charge a 2.5% commission one time. If you do over that, I charge 2. If you do over $1 million, we negotiate. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Now, on the other coin, usually by the end of 6 months or a year, you're way ahead of where the bank would be. But in the meantime, anytime you want to sell these things, you can. They're 100% liquid. They trade on the open market. Last but not least, it depends on the client. Very often, at the end of the year, because of timing, instead of making the 5 or 6, we've been able to get 7 or 8 or even 9%. Now, it's a little bit complicated, but the bottom line, anybody that wants to get information on this, if they're not happy with what's going on in the bank, you call the radio station, talk to Pastor Tom. You're awake. This
He's
is
smiling.
Impressive. He's smiling. This is good. And we don't give out all of our individual phone numbers because there's too many of them.
You got to flash those cards now, Tom.
All you do is call 1-888-221. Is there 5 minutes, Tom?
Not yet.
Well,
he was flashing that five at you, but not
the rest of it.
Oh, okay.
1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. Let me bring up another subject, Dan, while I'm at. High dividend paying stocks. Now, invariably, people say, Joe, I like this 5 or 6%. You got anything that does any better? You know, and
better than that?
No, you're well, good. There are. But here comes the thing. You ever heard of risk?
Risk and reward?
Yeah, it's kind of a thing. If things are paying 10 and 15%, normally the risk is a bit higher. So now you're in common stock and you own the company. If that company gets in trouble, you can lose your money. So what I normally do when we get people that are into common stock that are paying these 10 and 15% dividends, we put in what's called a stop loss. Right. So let's just use an example. I pay $10 a share and I put in a stop that says it'll automatically sell at 9, so I don't take a big loss. Let me take this call and we'll talk about it again. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
I am calling with a question on short sale.
Okay.
And after you've done a short sale, say you get a letter from the bank stating that they're not going to hold you accountable for the remaining balance, how soon can you get a property or have another property without that being held against you?
You know, we'll talk to Mike Paulus about it, but I think that with the short sale, and he was talking with short sales and foreclosures and bankruptcies, within 3 years, you're able to rebuild your credit, and they'll...
I think we talked about that last week with Mike, and he's saying some of the lenders are actually getting more user friendly today.
Even to 2 years instead of three.
Yeah,
which is great, but they were at 3 years.
Softening the underwriting.
When it used to be 7 and 10 years before.
So what we'll do is this.
Other question that I actually had also is I start trying to differentiate between a transfer of
deed and lieu
versus a warranty deed.
Well, there's a quit claim deed, which you just sign off and you say, hey, I don't own it anymore, but I'm not guaranteeing anything. It's your property because I signed off on it. When you sign a warranty deed, you're saying, I warrant things. And here's where the title insurance company or an attorney comes in, where you have a title insurance policy to protect the new owner. So however you transfer the property, whether it's a warranty deed or a quit claim deed, normally the new buyer, unless it's your brother or sister, when it's a family member, sometimes you can just quit claim it and walk away, and it's up to them to go do whatever they want. But does that answer that for you?
It does answer that for me. I guess I'm a little concerned after a short sale. If I did a quit claim, does the bank have a right to that property, or does it red flag the bank if I had a short sale and then after that I got a quit claim deed?
Well, if you already short sailed it to somebody else, right? You sold the property. Now, how can you quit claim it if you don't own it anymore?
A different property. If, say, for example, my mother would then give me a property or do a quit claim deed on a property.
You don't have to worry a bit. You don't have to worry a bit. All you've done then is, once that deal is done with the bank, it's over with. They're not going to come.
That's two separate transactions.
But if she has a mortgage on that, even if you have a mortgage on it, you just can't quit claim it to Joe and take your name off of it.
If it's a free and clear property, you can quit claim it.
Yeah.
But if you have a mortgage, the mortgage has to be satisfied. Yeah,
there's also gift tax implications to that, too.
Yeah, but that's inconsequential in the normal things. But what happens is this. When this happens, then you start getting together with somebody like Vince, CPA.
Is she talking about a fully assumable mortgage?
Well, we don't know.
Mortgages are assumable.
Yeah, but I don't know if she's talking. I think that's she's talking of transfer name.
It's pretty much a property that my mom wants to give to me that is of no mortgage.
There you go.
Well, then that's different. That's completely different.
All she can do is give you a quit claim deed. It's your property. You don't have to worry.
She can quit claim it to you.
Now, let me just give you another piece of fear, though. And this is Vince talking, which is not, but I'm talking for him. If your mom quit claims deeds that property to you, you now own that property. But if your mom bought it 30 years ago for $20,000 and now it's worth $200,000, if you ever sell it, you're going to have a taxable consequence all the way back to when your mom bought it.
Wow.
It's true.
On the other hand, if your mother put it in a trust for you, and that trust basically says when she dies on that day, you now own that house, then you can go. Now, what I'm going to do, we're going to take your name and number. We're going to talk to you off the air probably tomorrow or Monday, because there's some details you need to make sure you don't get wrong here. This is important stuff. I'll put her on hold. Thank you so much. Bye. Are we done?
Pretty much.
See, we're done.
Are we supposed to say goodbye?
You've been listening.
Bye.
Until next week.
God bless.
The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.